Right now, we have another thing we want to look into, and this is something that we know that we've been talking about the economy and how prices have been affected of late. And one of the key issues in terms of our economy is that we are big on importing and we're not even exporting. But there is something that one of you said, as the callers that contribute here on Radio Mirai, you did mention that there's a lot of taxing and all that. And so we want to look at this story here, something that happened on Tuesday last week. And this is about the one-stop border post at Elegu. And so the update is that there's a move to improve trade relations and revenue collections there. And so a joint delegation of government officials, trade representatives, and very key stakeholders from the Republic of Uganda and South Sudan as well visited Nimule border on Tuesday for a high-level joint border sensitization mission. And the main focus was to strengthen cross-border trade relations, fostering regional integration, as well as emphasize on the implementation of the one-stop border post and other trade facilitation methods. And so Dr. Anne Ito, a honorable member of parliament in the East African Legislative Assembly representing South Sudan, joins us this morning to update us about the mission and also help us understand more on the importance of the one-stop border post at Elegu and how its full utilization by both countries, Uganda and South Sudan, has potential to improve the economic situation in South Sudan. So, Dr. Anne Ito, you're welcome to Mirai Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much. I would like to say good morning to all Mirai listeners, and it's good to be with you.
Okay. First off, let's get an update from the region. Yes, about the East African community, we have our president as the head. How is it going over there?
Well, we are very proud to be the chair of the East Africa.
Yes, continue.
Summit. And I guess we are doing very well in the sense that one of the major things that our president undertook is to try to resolve the impasse between partner states like Rwanda, Burundi, and DRC. And I think no other head of state has tried that enough. And he has been, you know, going physically to meet the presidents in this partner state. I think that is a plus on our side.
Awesome. And at the Legislative Assembly, what are some of the priorities on what is being tabled there?
Well, for us, you know, the East African community is basically around the issue of trade.
Mm-hmm.
Trade is very important because it's related to economic growth and welfare of our country. So for us, we do other things, but the focus is how can we get goods, services, persons, labor, and capital to move freely between partner states. And that is actually the reason why there was a high-level sensitization mission to the border, not just to Elegu and Nimule,
mm-hmm.
but similar activities have been undertaken in Namanga, that is the border between Tanzania and Kenya,
mm-hmm.
Malaba, the border between Kenya and Uganda, and several, there were actually eight other one-stop border posts that have been visited.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, without movement, trade can slow down, and that would lengthen the period of our prosperity. So we went there basically to see how this one-stop border post means you do everything at this border,
mm-hmm.
whether it's customs and checking everything or making sure that the goods are the correct standard and that payment has been made, but also people are moving in addition to the trade. And this border post is supposed to allow free movement. And if it's functioning well, it means trade is doing well. If it's not functioning well, it means we have to work more. So we went there as a delegation to check exactly what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. Indeed, trade is very, very key. Now, before we delve into the actual mission, I just want to ask you, walk me through what should be the ideal experience at a one-stop border post. Say you are a trader coming from Uganda for the case of Nimule.
Ideally, if these buildings at Nimule is finished, you'd see one building where the Ugandan Revenue Authority and South Sudan Revenue Authority would be sitting and sharing one office.
Mm-hmm.
So that when anything goes through, it will go through these two people and there is no suspicion, no nothing.
At the same time.
Same time. Mm-hmm. Same office. And then when you come through, you will find immigration. Actually, first immigration. One sit next to the other. You, when you are coming from Ugandan side, you get an exit. Once that is done, the next person should be a South Sudanese immigration officer who actually allows you in.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens with customs and everything. So it's supposed to be, you know, I mean, I experienced Malaba, I traveled through. It took me 5 minutes.
Wow.
But of course, I have, you know, a diplomatic passport. For an ordinary passport, it should not take you more than 20 minutes.
Wow.
If you're not carrying a lot of goods, 20 minutes, you should be done.
Okay, I have been to Nimule, and on the Uganda side, there are empty seats that are specifically supposed to be for South Sudanese immigration officers. And I'm speaking from the point of immigration because I'm not a trader. Why is that?
Okay, that is also something we noticed and brought it to their attention. Their claim is that in South Sudan, the one-stop border post building is not complete. There is only the verification unit, but the administration unit, which should be housing the officers for customs, for immigration, for standards, is not complete.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and Ugandans say, okay, you come. They actually told us they are ready to receive South Sudanese custom officers to go there and work from that side until the part in South Sudan is completed, because one border post is not about a building.
Mm-hmm.
It is the agreement and the observation of working together. It could be under a tree, it could be under what, but they're sitting next to one another. When goods come, when people come, they're processed in one single process. That is what they want, and they're ready. The Ugandan side is ready to do that.
Okay.
So we gave them a period of 3 months or so to tell us. We'll come back later to see if they're actually, you know, sharing or working together, whether they're integrated together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that means the fact that the building on the side of South Sudan should actually not be an issue at the time. The collaboration should continue to happen. So these 3 months you're talking about, when did it start? Was it from the Tuesday visit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But, you know, the issue is not just building, but also on Uganda's side, they are digitized. They have internet working. Their entire system is digitized. On our side, we are still using papers. So it becomes very difficult to actually integrate the two systems. One is working on papers, and it takes time to actually analyze, process, and report on what is going on. Whereas if you go to Ugandan side, it's just a press of a button. And all the trade information, the goods, where cargo has arrived, you just press a button. On our side, we need to digitize. We need to have computers and internets and power working so that they would be able to integrate their system. At the moment, the way it is, it's not possible.
Okay. And so can you briefly just maybe from your observation, and I know that the team did a review on the performance of the border post. Mm-hmm. From your observation, what has, for the case of South Sudan, what has South Sudan done and started doing collaboratively, and then what exactly is pending?
Okay. I just want to state this very clearly.
Yes.
South Sudan is not refusing, mm-hmm, to integrate.
Yes.
I think the creating of a facility that can allow them to work together hand in hand with Uganda is the issue. I believe it's a matter of funding to make sure that that adequate equipment and systems and power and internet is available at the Nimule border post to enable them to work together. Some issue that was also brought is the harmonization of working hours. You know, Uganda is 1 hour ahead.
Yes.
When travelers and trucks arrive, they can't clear them. They waste 1 hour because we start working at 8, which is their 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And it actually also creates a lot of delay at the border.
Yeah.
And we say these are administrative, they should work together to harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are the things.
Okay.
We have a lot of other things. For example, at our side, we also need to have a weighing bridge. When a truck comes, it passes on this thing to make sure that the truck that is allowed to come to South Sudan is carrying the right weight, not overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue. Uganda has it, we don't have. We also need scanners. At the moment, our customs officer check physically what is on the truck. Sometimes they have to carry everything down and put everything back, and by the time that happens, it may be six hours or even a whole day for one truck. While on the Ugandan side, there is a scanner through which a whole truck drives packs.
And it's weighed.
Just 5 minutes. It checks, it will actually generate an information on a screen, like you are not carrying. No, they can establish these are the goods you are carrying.
Wow.
And there is no illegal goods in there. And the truck just goes.
Wow.
5 minutes.
Okay.
On our part, we really have to physically, if we doubt you have to check physically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to delve into that because it's such a big conversation. And thank you for highlighting all these issues that South Sudan is facing, and it's limiting our ability to fully utilize the one-stop border post. But what is the potential, in just 2 minutes, what is the potential to improve the economic situation if in the case that we are fully able to use that one-stop border post, especially for ferrying in goods and also, hopefully, in the future, exporting?
Okay. One thing is, if our cargo tracking system works, it means we would know what goods that are destined for South Sudan has left Mombasa, and then we'll know when it would arrive Nimule, and the clearance can be done very quickly. And of course, trade is about timing. If you delay, you cost more. If you pass something, for example, in the past, it used to take about 3 weeks to get goods through to South Sudan from Mombasa. Now maybe it's about 10 days. That by itself is gaining business time.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is also with the scanners, if we have it, we reduce time for checking. And if we can clear a goods for, you know, within 5 minutes as compared to 5 hours, you've made business faster, and therefore even other people will be willing to deal with South Sudan.
Yes.
Other people will be more willing, and then investment would even increase if they know at the border there is fast clearance, there is no overcharging, there is no what. It is going to be very, very, very quick. You know, for example, before we came, we learned about the imposition of $350.
Oh yes,
as a charge for cargo tracking system.
Mm.
We heard that it has been lifted temporarily. I hope, you know, the relevant authority would come up with something that is acceptable. What we found out at the border is, on our part, that the two weeks or so, or at least 1 week, where this thing was applied, the charge was up, we had zero trade.
Interesting.
We had zero trade.
For how long?
For about a week.
Wow. Okay.
Because, you know, the truckers have refused to pay 350. So what does the government charge? If goods are not moving, they cannot charge anything.
Yeah.
So that is how serious it is.
Okay.
Some of these things may appear minor, mm-hmm. but it affects the country very deeply.
And thank you for stating that. Shortly after the break, I'm coming back to you as we conclude the conversation. But first, let's have the news headlines.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
A very good morning. It's 8:30 a.m. More than 600 internally displaced persons from Mundri East County of Western Equatoria State have been received by authorities of Rokon Payam of Juba County. All civil society organizations in the country are calling for support to enable them conduct civic and voters education ahead of the general elections. The chairperson of the South Sudan Civil Society Forum, Galdino Chama Ajok, said there has been slow response from partners in terms of assistance. The National Police Service is advising commercial motorcycle riders known as border boarders to avoid transporting people to locations designated as hotspot areas. Now, this comes amid an apparent rise of attacks and killing of border border riders by gunmen in Juba. And finally, authorities of Central Equatoria State have noted efforts towards ensuring a stop to illegal logging in Panyume area of Morobo County. Well, Governor of Central Equatoria State Emmanuel Adil on Sunday met with Security Coordinator of Morobo County to discuss the problems, and in his press secretary Derrickson, he dismissed any involvement of the state authorities and that of the county is involved in such practice. Well, that's it for the news headlines. Good morning. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, and this is where the nation's biggest conversations begin every morning, as my colleague Lucy Kiden continues with the conversation.
أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا صوت السلام.
Good morning. This is the breakfast show where the nation's big conversations begin.
Station by station, land of the nation.
Ignite yourself into money-making mode. Entrepreneurship, economic analysis, money market, forex rates, prices, innovation, corporates and more. Money Monday. Let us talk money.
Yes, welcome back. And it is now 28 minutes to the top of the hour. Exactly 9, we'll have the news bulletin in English. But now we continue with the conversation on the one-stop border post that has a lot of potential to improve revenue collection for South Sudan from the Nimule border area that is at El Legu. And here we're speaking to Dr. Annie Toh, who's a Member of Parliament representing South Sudan in the East African Legislative Assembly. And she has mentioned some of the key issues affecting our full potential at the Nimule border post. First, we have not started utilizing the place because there's a building that has not been fully constructed yet. And then also there's an issue on digitalization of the processes. And then there was also this issue of cargo tracking system where traders refused to pay the $350. Well, it's been lifted, but it's still being discussed on how it can be implemented in the next days and weeks. And so now, just to conclude, Anne Ito, thank you for coming indeed to share with us this information. What was the conclusion with the mission? What are some of the ways forward? You did mention one, giving 3 months to South Sudan to join the Ugandan authorities on that side, especially on immigration and also clearing of goods. What are some of the others that work, recommendations and, points to achieve in the next few months before doing another review?
Okay, thank you very much. I was about to forget something which was very key. We realized that the one-stop border post was not very gender sensitive, in the sense that especially the cross-border trade was being done by women and youth. and you find that there is something called a simplified trade regime, where if your goods value less than $2,000, you are not supposed to be taxed, and you are not supposed to go through the tedious process of clearing goods. And we found that on our side, at least, there is need for improvement on that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the women traders are mothers. And sometimes when it rains, they have nowhere to go. And one of the decision made or recommendation made is, as soon as possible, there should be a shade where lactating mothers, breastfeeding mothers, can have their babysitters and the baby go and sit while they do trade, because this is very, very important, and is very central to the integration process of the East African community. Another area that was very important was something to do with national ID. For example, the East African community recommend that if people on the border are moving within 10 kilometers radius, mm-hmm. they can use their national ID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of a passport.
Instead of a passport. This has met with a lot of challenge. We say this is very, very important. They should meet together and find a solution for this. And also, it's because mostly it's women and youth from either side. They
okay.
should, yeah. And then another area is there is supposed to be joint border committee that are supposed to meet regularly every month to try to resolve problems as they come. And this border committee has not been working. We don't know why, but I think we have been asked on our part to really make sure that the people who are in this committee makes themselves available at the border regularly to have that meeting, so that small issues
can be addressed
okay. because it's very, very important.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to Miraya Studios to give us an update on this. And right now, just your final remark to traders. What's your message in this situation?
I just would like the traders to understand that they are playing a very important role in the building of this nation. And it's the responsibility of the authority to create a conducive atmosphere so that they can do trade. Trade actually leads to growth, economic growth, and welfare of the people. That's one. Number two, traders need to educate themselves about what happens at the border so that they are not extorted. Because we learned that there are some people who don't know enough. There are people who station themselves at the border who say, okay, I can do you this if you pay me money. You should not pay anything, anybody, any money for the process if you understand how it's done. Nobody should take you money to facilitate the custom process, because it's there.
It's their job.
It's their job. Mm-hmm. Nobody should take any money. Finally, I think for us to begin growing our trade, we should actually complete the one-stop border building and install the relevant systems with internet and everything, so that nobody else cheats us.
Okay.
Yeah, so that we can follow, even we can avoid smuggling, we can avoid other, you know, individuals taking advantage of our lack of digitalization. You know, we learned that there are some people who are from Congo, but they import goods in the name of South Sudan. As they get to the border, they divert and go away
okay.
to avoid taxes in their country.
Yeah.
But when we have all these systems in place, nobody's going to be taking advantage of us. We should rise up to the challenge, because it's in our interest to do trade and do it properly.
Thank you so much, Dr. Anne Ito, for coming to Miraya, and do have a good day.